Let's start in Mark chapter 4 this morning. And Madeline, these screens aren't working, so you'll have to try to keep up with what I'm doing. So please, thank you. She generally does pretty good. First, I want to read Mark chapter 4. Let me get to the right place. Verse 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. On that day, when evening came, this is one of the days where Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God and teaching his disciples and all of the crowd that was around him different things and doing miracles and all those things. So on that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side," meaning the other side of the sea. Leaving the crowd, verse 36, they took him along with them in the boat, Jesus as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself, in verse 38, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And then finally in verse 41, they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So I want to talk about this event today, which is found in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. Take your pick. In 1991, there was such a thing called the perfect storm. It was a meteorological nightmare that unfolded off the coast of Massachusetts. Maybe some of y'all remember hearing about that. I think there was even a movie made about that. And this wasn't just any storm. It was a convergence of three separate systems of weather systems that created waves that were upwards to 100 foot, which is not normal. It's not, no one has ever measured waves that high. Commercial fishing boats are built to handle the worst that the Atlantic could offer, generally. That's what they're built. They're built to be out there in the middle of these storms. Because if you waited until calm seas to fish, you wouldn't make any money, right? If you waited till everything was perfect to go to work, you'd never go to work. But these waves were throwing these fishing ships around like they were toys, basically. They were no match. And they began to call it the perfect storm. It's a phrase that now people use quite often for events such as that. But I don't think we need to be commercial fishermen to understand what it feels like to be overwhelmed and swamped by the storms of life that sometimes seem like the perfect storms. Like storms that you don't see coming and they're so overwhelming, maybe more than one at a time in life. Maybe more than one at a time in your family's life or your personal life or even the life of your congregation at Oak Grove here, right? We've been through some stuff together, good and bad and all in between. The bottom line is, as we sail through life, the boat's going to get rocked. It's going to go up and it's going to go down. You're going to get wet. I like to watch some fishing shows. I don't know why. I don't know why it is that I like to watch other people work hard. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just reflecting the back of my younger days when I used to be able to do some of that stuff. But they always get wet. There's no way to avoid getting wet when you're out in the seas. And that's true in life. Sometimes people have financial storms, or sometimes they have personal storms in their relationships with one another. Seems like everything's going along just right, and then suddenly it's all in the trash for whatever their reasons. Sometimes it's expected, sometimes it's unexpected. Maybe there's medical problems that hit your family like a hurricane out of nowhere. They just keep coming, don't they? Just when you think you recovered, you turn around and there's another wave. And another. I remember the first time when I was a young kid at the beach, at any ocean, I got hit by a wave and I have no idea what happened. My dad picked me up out of the sand. The water hit me, and then my dad had me up in his hand. He picked me up and set me back up. He was laughing the whole time, but, you know, he at least saved my life. In these moments, it often feels like the person you really need the most, who should be awake in the middle of these storms, would be Jesus. Wouldn't y'all agree with that? And it feels like he's asleep in your boat. I've been there. I've been there plenty of times. Some of the storms I created myself, right? And some of the storms are just storms because I live in this world like the rest of y'all. And I've had times when I know Jesus is there, but I'm still asking, how come I can't see you? Why isn't this different? Right? And as far as the church is concerned, all we're trying to do is be faithful and preach the gospel, make disciples, love people, because that's what the Lord wants us to do. That's what we want to do. And we could have the same kind of storms as a church, wondering, why isn't this working, or how come that's not working, or every time we turn around, this happens, and every time this goes on. As a preacher, I'm trying to get some momentum, right, and making disciples and helping the church be known, and it seems like every time I turn around, there's something else that God puts in front of me to focus on other than what I think I need to be looking at, right? And it's not always bad, it's just different, something different. It's just another wave. Sometimes you think you're trying to go in a direction with your life or with the church, and you're doing everything you know to steer in that direction, but you don't seem like you're getting there because of the winds and the storms and the waves. So today we're going to look at the original perfect storm to see exactly who was in the boat with us, right? So let's go to the first point, the reality of the storm. Right, because I think sometimes, like the disciples at the time of this situation, and other times when they were in a storm with Jesus, except for that time Jesus was not in the boat with them. He's actually walking around, taking a stroll outside the boat. Either way, in those situations, the disciples, the seasoned fishermen, all they could look at was the storm. That's all they could see, because that's what they were experiencing. But here's what we need to notice about the reality of the storm. In Mark 4, verse 38, it says that Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" This is why this statement that they're making to Jesus is why I know that all they could look at was the storm. And they could not see the reality in the storm. Right? And I kind of figure, you guys, this is going to be an easy one for y'all along the way, right? It should be an easy one for y'all. Because what they're missing is the reality that Jesus, our Lord, was asleep on a cushion in the same boat. Now, if we go too fast, you're going to look at this scripture and you're going to miss something important. And it may or may not have anything to do with what we're talking about today, but it's important for you to notice who we're talking about. This is saying that Jesus himself was asleep on the cushion. Now, it's important because we need to be constantly reminded that Jesus, our Savior, was indeed in the flesh when he walked on this earth, just like you and I are in the flesh. That brings me a lot of comfort to know this for a lot of reasons. One, because his sacrifice on the cross was genuine and powerful because he was in the flesh, you see. But the fact that he's asleep, it's not because he's lazy. And it's not because he just figured the guys can row the boat and it's not my job. It's not like he's union or something. It's because he's tired. He's physically tired from teaching the kingdom of God to the masses before he got in the boat. And the fact that my Savior, your Savior, our Lord, had to take a nap tells me that he was human. And the fact that he desired a cushion tells me that he was human. Because if he wasn't human being in the flesh like you and I are, he could have laid anywhere and got whatever sleep he really needed if he ever even needed it. So he had to get him a little cushion, right? To get comfortable. Nobody in this room is going to lay down without being the way they want to be if they can help it. Cushion, pillow, whatever you use to get comfortable. So here's our Savior in the flesh. And they're looking at him saying, why are you sleeping? And it's Mark's account shows the question the way I think all of us may ask the question. And you need to read this question as if it's a state of panic. Because they're going to Jesus and they're waking him up from his sleep, which is their first time missing what's going on. And they're saying, how are you sleeping? Don't you care that we're about to die? So they skipped over why he would be sleeping. They questioned his care for them, and they had already come to a conclusion of how this event was going to end. And let me say something to y'all. These guys had Jesus in the flesh, in the boat with them, and this is their response. You and I go through storms all the time, and we have the same Jesus. He's not in the flesh, not the way he was then, but we have the Spirit of God living in our hearts. We have our Lord and Savior well aware and involved in our storms. Even those times when we can't hear from him or don't see what he may be doing, you see. And many times, we're just as guilty as these fellas. Where are you, Lord? What's going on here, Jesus? Why don't you this or that about this situation? And it's all because, like these disciples, we can't stop looking at the storm and how great it is and how fearful it is. The Sea of Galilee that they were on is a body of water that has these really high mountains that are 9,000-ish feet, and this cold air comes rushing down the mountain and it mixes in with the warm air that creates this storm. It's common over there. And it's sudden and it's violent, and they were seasoned fishermen afraid for their life. So this is seems to be natural, but they missed the whole thing. They missed the reality in the storm, which was that Jesus was asleep. Not that Jesus didn't notice. It's not that Jesus didn't know the storm was going on. It's just that he was asleep. He didn't have to care. He was not concerned about the storm. And you sit back and say, if you're like me, and I think maybe I'm normal, or close. I'm going to sit back and say, well, how on earth is it that we can be that way? How can we see the storm and not be concerned? Well, there was a famous painting in 1633, if you know anything about artwork, it's a Rembrandt. And he painted a painting after this event. And if you know anything about that painting, he painted himself as one of the disciples. Isn't that amazing? And then on top of that, he painted Jesus off to the in the shadows, where you could, if you didn't look close enough, you won't see him. You won't notice him if you're not paying attention. So he had a deep thought about this event when he painted that painting. So the battle for in our hearts and in our minds on a regular basis in life and as a church is that there's this battle for our attention. There's the storm, the presence of the storm, which is very real and should not be ignored. And then there's sometimes this the presence of our Savior, even though he's silent at times. Right? And it demands our faith to be activated in the storm, doesn't it? It demands for us to just believe what we have always believed about our Lord. Demands that we believe, that we know Jesus and who he is and what he does and how much he loves us. Sometimes believers confuse the presence of God with the absence of trouble. Sometimes we think, well, I'm a Christian, so I shouldn't have problems. I shouldn't have bad things happen to me. And if anybody believes that, you should help them understand differently so that they would have a chance, an opportunity to express their faith in a healthy way that would help them in their storms. Some people think that because they're Christians, their boat's not sinkable. I call them Titanic Christians. I've seen a lot of believers that love God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and their lives are destroyed by storms. I've seen it happen. Sometimes the greatest test of faith is not the storm itself, but the sleeping Jesus in the middle of it. Sometimes the storms are there. God leads us into the storms or carries us toward the storms to strengthen our faith about our awareness of his presence in our life. Because he said, go into the world and make disciples, and I will go with you wherever you go. It's a test of faith. Do you trust God? Do you trust that the Lord is leading you in your life? These guys didn't do anything to cause this storm to happen to them. It's not a consequence of their bad behavior. In fact, they got in the boat because Jesus told them to. Jesus told them to go, let's go get in the boat and go to the other side of the sea. So they obediently followed Jesus. And sometimes, as we're obediently following our Lord, following the Spirit of God in our life, we will be headed right into the path of a storm sometimes. And that's okay, right? That's okay. Because verse 39 of Mark chapter 4, it says he got up. This is his response. This is point number two there on the PowerPoint. And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. Now imagine, put your feet in the shoes of these disciples, if you can. And imagine that you're acting the way they were acting for good reason. I mean, not good enough reason, but good reason. And here's what Jesus does. Because I honestly think they were expecting him to get up and start helping them bail water. I don't know what they really thought, but I mean, it's like, what else would they be asking him to do? Because if they would have asked him to get up and stop this storm, they wouldn't have been so panicked. They probably would have been asleep with him if they really believed that's who was in the boat with him, or really knew or understood that. So he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." When you read the original language, the translation really means to be muzzled or put a muzzle on it, right? That's how authority talks to its subjects. And Jesus, by standing up in the boat, talking to the wind and talking to the sea, most of us, if we were talking to the wind or the sea or any other object, we would be considered insane, lost our minds, loony, right? But here's Jesus. He talks to the wind and the sea and says, "Shut it down. Hush up." All because these guys are looking at it and getting afraid. They're being afraid. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. This was Jesus and his authority over God's creation in action, right before their eyes. I don't know how many times we've dealt with little toddler type children, right? And they have this, they fall down and scrape some part of their arm or leg or their knee, and their world is ending. I mean, you have to blow in their mouth because they can't breathe. They're crying so hard. And you get over there and you wipe off a little bit of wash rag and wipe off the little scrape, and you put a little cartoon Band-Aid on it, and the crying stops. That's what we're looking at, y'all. That's what we're looking at. The storm was no match for Jesus. No concern, of zero concern for Jesus. The only reason he spoke to this storm was because the disciples were not passing the test. And they needed to know more about Jesus. They were being obedient to Jesus because they were following him as a rabbi, as a teacher. But Jesus wants them to know exactly who he is. He's Lord. He is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. He is God in the flesh. So if God in the flesh wants to take a nap on a pillow, then you should do the same in the middle of a storm. That's the point. Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." He said to them, "Let's get in the boat and go to the other side," meaning that's what we're going to do. That's what the plan is. That's the mission. Why would Jesus not be able to complete his mission because of a storm that he has authority over, you see? And I know y'all are sitting back saying, "Well, life storms aren't the same." They're exactly the same. He has authority over all kinds of storms in our life. He's got authority over the fear and the heartache and the trouble and the stress and the worries and the concerns and the what ifs and anything you can think of that would overwhelm you and defeat you. Jesus has authority over it. All of it. There's a story told about a farmer who prayed for rain during a drought. Every day he'd be out in the front yard looking at his fields and he's praying for rain. Asking the Lord, "Man, Lord, we just need some rain. Just make it happen. I know you can do it." And his neighboring farmer comes tooling by on his tractor, and he stops his tractor and he walks over to him. He says, "What are you doing?" "I'm praying for rain, like I do every day." He said, "Well, why ain't you digging no drainage ditches then? You ain't digging no drainage ditches, no irrigation ditches. Why ain't you digging? Because if you really were praying for rain, in faith, you'd be digging some drainage ditches, some irrigation ditches." So if you're just going to stand around here asking God for rain and don't prepare for it, you're just hoping. I think about that, y'all. Think about all the things we talk to God about in our lives. Think about all the things we want for our children and grandchildren. Right? Think about all the things that we want in our homes and we would like for the Lord to address. Think about what we're asking God for here at this church. Oak Grove Christian Church is like an old fishing boat. It's just like an old fishing boat. You see that picture on the screen up there? I picked that picture on purpose. I picked that picture because it's not the prettiest boat in the ocean. That thing is wore out, it looks like. That thing is wore out, but it catches fish. It's wore out because it catches fish. Because it keeps going out to catch fish. You don't have to have the prettiest, nicest to catch fish. You have to go where the Lord tells you to go and cast your net where the Lord tells you to cast your net. And then come back in and you'll have fish. We're fishers of men now, y'all. And a boat that looks like that, that boat's been out on the sea a bunch of times. It's seen some waves back and forth. It's probably been in trouble more often than we could ever know. That's Oak Grove. That's who we are. That's you and your family. That's you and your personal life. That's your journey in Christ. Wave after wave, but we're still there. We're still sailing the seas. We're still fishing for men. We're still doing the work of the Lord because we have a promise. God said to go into the world and make disciples. That's the goal. We're going to the other side of the sea. So why would we look at a storm and say, oh, this isn't going to allow me to do what God has called me to do? But if Jesus is there, and he is, he's always there, how could we fail? Faith is not the absence of fear, y'all. I'm not telling y'all that you shouldn't be afraid at times. You shouldn't be angry at times. You shouldn't be hurting at times. You shouldn't be bewildered by the storms of life at times. Faith is the refusal to let those emotions have victory in your life. Refusal to let the fear of the storm win the day and have the final say about who you are in Christ. Fear's a real thing, isn't it? It's almost like we feel like we feel this emotion, we feel this fear and this emotion, but and we can't do anything else until we deal with it. Find a way to make it go away. And that's not what I'm reading in this particular part of Scripture. I'm reading that in the middle of these emotions, in the middle of this storm, we should just trust Jesus. Ask him if he wants another pillow. Know that he has this under control. There was a missionary at a certain time. His name is John Patton. He faced countless life-threatening situations translating scripture for cannibalistic tribes. How'd you like to have that assignment? How'd you like to have that assignment where you're translating the word of God for people that might have you for supper? That's his mission. And he wrote these words. He says, I realized that I was immortal till my master's work with me was done. You think about what he said. He said, I just realized that I'm immortal until my master's work with me is done. In other words, I'm not leaving this world until the Lord says it's time for me to leave this world. I'm not going to be done doing the work until the Lord says it's done time for me to be done doing the work. It doesn't even matter what storms come about. It could be storm after storm after. You know, there's people that live in this world that never experience anything other than storms of life. They never get a mountaintop. They never get sunny days in their life. It's just one bad dream after another for them. Nothing lasts forever except for eternity. Right? So whatever the storms are for you, whatever the storms are for your family, whatever the storms are, even here for Oak Grove, we're going to just ride the waves, knowing that Jesus has authority over it all, and that Jesus is going to use that storm for his purposes, and that it's a test of our faith. It's a test of your faith, is what it is. It's not the absence of fear, y'all. It's the refusal to let fear have the final word. All right. Write down 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 in your notes there on your bulletin and look at that when you get home. Point number three, So Miss Madeline's back here. She got her finger like itching to push the button for the next slide. So I can see it. I can see it all over her face. Luke chapter 8, verse 25. This is Luke's version of this account. It said, "And he said to them, where is your faith?" We all know that as, "O ye of little faith," right? That's how everybody memorizes it. "Where's your faith?" "They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, who is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" It was instant, y'all. He stood up and commanded the winds and the waves to stop. And suddenly, they're no longer fearful of the storm. They probably completely forgot all about that fear. And now they're moved into this other fear of like, uh-oh. We ain't dealing with who we thought we were dealing with. What in the world? They got scared of Jesus there for a moment. And they should have. They should have. You see, they obeyed him first by getting in the boat, right? But they only obeyed him because he was their rabbi. Now they're learning that he's more than that. He's the Lord. He's our Lord. He's their Savior. It says they were afraid and amazed, y'all. You ever been afraid and amazed at the same time? The King James Version says that they were they feared exceedingly. You ever feared exceedingly? It's like you get fearful and then there's a little bit more or something. They asked the right question though. Who is this guy? And that's important because if they had already known who he is, they never would have been afraid to start with. They never would have been afraid to start with. And that's the whole point, y'all. In the storms of life that we all go through, in our families, in our homes, in our personal walk with Christ, here at the church, as a church congregation, the storms that come along, we must encounter them storms prepared to exercise our faith that Jesus is asleep in the storm. He's not concerned. This storm is not going to be the end of us. I used to say that to my son every day almost. Especially the days he was having a bad day because of his disabilities. And he had a right to have a bad day, by the way. He had every right in the world to be upset about his life because of his disabilities. But every time, the only way I knew to get him out of that was to just say, is this what's going to be the end of Dustin Gilmer? This situation that you're talking about. I get how you're feeling, but are we just going to lay down and give up? Is that what we're going to do? And every time he would go in his room and think about it, and he'd get up the next morning and be full steam ahead, making his decision that it wasn't going to be the end of him. And years later, as I grew up my own self, every time a storm happened to me, I could hear myself say to him, is this going to be the end of Archie Gilmer? You just going to roll over and die because you got hit by this wave? Sometimes we want Jesus to be our co-pilot and our helper and our advisor. But the storm reveals that he ain't those things. He's not my helper. He ain't my co-pilot. He ain't just my advisor. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's God. He's God over it all, including me. So no, he's driving this thing. I'm not even co-piloting with him. I'm a deckhand, y'all. And if we don't get that figured out, we're going to be in trouble because we're going to be like these disciples questioning Jesus about things that we don't have no business questioning him about. They were talking to him as if he wasn't Lord and Savior. Because they didn't know, not because they were being disrespectful, they just didn't know. Because the fear that came about caused them to make their own assumptions about the situation. Because they were looking at the storm and not looking at Jesus. If they were able to, they would have said, oh, I wonder why Jesus is asleep even though there's a storm out here. They never really asked that question. They just came to a conclusion, look at him, he's over there sleeping. Can't you get up? Don't you even care? Everybody knows Jesus loves you. People that aren't even saved knows Jesus loves you. Satan knows Jesus loves you. It's obvious to the world that Jesus loves people. right? So let's just make a commitment today that each one of us, we're just going to make a commitment that as the storms of life come, we're just going to be prepared to know that Jesus is there. And anytime Satan or ourselves come up with some kind of doubt that that's the truth, we're going to use Scripture and say, no, that's not true. Doesn't matter how you feel, here's what's true. We believe. And as a church, as we go out into the world and try to make disciples and do whatever it is God has us to do, no matter what it looks like or what it doesn't look like, we're just going to continue to stay faithful because we know that Jesus is there in it all. Here's the big idea for number three. Storms reveal that Jesus is either Lord of all or he's nothing in our lives. That's what the purpose of storms are in your spiritual growth. They are there to let you know, because God already knows. They are there to let you know if Jesus really is Lord of your life. Because when everything's great, it's easy to praise the Lord, isn't it? It's easy to sing God is good all the time. When you're in the darkest valley of your life, in the darkest corner, you don't feel like anybody knows where you are and you don't think God cares where you are, somehow or another, you're going to have to find something in your heart that sings God is good all the time because you believe it's true, not just because you think it's the right thing to do. So the question you're going home with this morning, well, it's 2 minutes into this afternoon. Here's your question. You and the Lord answer this. And I'm going to invite you to be serious about this. Are ye of little faith? I don't want you to answer that question about how you want it to be answered or how you think it would be nice if I could say, yeah, I'm not a person of little faith. I have great faith. No, you don't even get to answer it, by the way. Go home and ask God what the answer is. Are ye of little faith? And I use the King James ye to make it official. Y'all, it's not the size of the boat. It's not. The size of the boat is of no consequence when it comes to the storms of life or the storms of ministry. It's the size of our faith. It's the size of our God. That's how we survive. That's how we outlast the storms. That's how we become stronger in the middle of the storms. Because the one who sleeps in the storm is the same one who conquered death on the cross, y'all. The one who we call Jesus, our Lord, he's the one who dealt with the greatest storm that you could ever endure or survive, the storm of sin. If you're not looking at sin in your life as a storm, you're missing out on what's going on. Because if there ever was a storm that is going to kill you, it's the storm of sin. And if you're rejecting this Savior, this Jesus, who has authority over it all, you will certainly perish for eternity. But all we have to do is by faith say, I believe that this is Jesus, God in the flesh. This is Jesus, Lord of my life, my Savior. And he will stand up in your storms, your sinful ways, and hush them and shut them down. And you'll be forgiven. So this week, as we face storms this month, this year, what is it, February? Almost the middle of February, 2026. And we've already had some storms, haven't we? Because God don't use our calendars. Life don't use our calendars. Right? We use our calendars. But we're going to have storms. We're going to have anxieties. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have stress. We're going to have things that come up against the boat and try to break it up. You can look at the wave and give in to your emotions, or you can look at the promise that God gave us and be a person of faith. Not just a person of faith, but a person of great faith. That's the witness, by the way. That's what people need to see in the community. Because they're going to see our boat being tossed back and forth by these storms. But they're also going to see that we're aware of the one who has authority over the storms. And that we're trusting and believing and counting on his interaction with and his intervention in not allowing that storm to do more than what it is intended to do. Because you and I have a mission and we have goals that are set by God. You and I are going to go into the world and be the witness. We're going to make disciples. We're going to live for Christ until our mission is over. And then the Lord's going to say it's all finished and you can come home. So this whole thing is the Word of God inviting us to stop trying to save ourselves. I don't care how fast you can bail water, you can't save yourself. It doesn't matter how long you've been at sea or how many times you've been out in the storms, that this ain't, you can't do it by yourself. You need Jesus. And the promise is if you would just let Jesus do what Jesus does, bring forgiveness into your life, be your Lord and your Savior, guide you every day, and be who He is, not just a good person to listen to, but Lord of your life, He wants to be your Savior, and you'll have everything you need to endure the storms of life. Even if the storms linger a bit. Right? Sometimes storms are just last a half a day. Storm of traffic. You don't think that can be a storm? You drive around here long enough, you know. But sometimes it's subtle storms, you know? You know, whenever I've been out on the, not, I haven't been out too many times, but when I've been out fishing on the ocean in a boat, if it's almost calm but just wavy enough, that's when I get sick. It's not a storm, but it's just wave. It's just enough of a rock that I get uncomfortable. If it's big storms, then you're kind of hanging on. You don't really have time to get sick because you're not. Some people don't get sick. Some people have what they call that, sea legs. God loves you, and He's in your storms, always. He wants you to be like this old ship right here. He wants this church to be like that. We're not trying to be all polished up. It's fine if we clean it and polish it, but we're not trying to be all polished up. We're trying to be fishers of men. We're trying to go do what Jesus sent us to do. We're trying to do it well. And I'm going to tell you this. Some of them boats, if you go to the marina and you see some of them boats look like that, they're the ones making the money. Some of them other guys, they got $2-3 million in a brand new boat with their nice clean t-shirts that say so-and-so fishing on it. They ain't making no money because they want their boat to look good. I want Jesus to be my Lord and I want to make disciples. I want to do what I'm here to do. And if my boat looks like that or if Oak Grove boat looks like that, so be it. Right? It just means we're weathered. We've been through it. We've done it. We've been there. We've been there and done that, and we've had Jesus the whole way. All right, y'all.